This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, welcome in, and a special thanks to Insperity for making this program possible each and every week. Bill Harmon will join us in just a little bit, but of course, Charlie Epps already here. Charlie, how are we this morning?
You know, I'm very happy that you're here. Last week we had a little void, but, you know, we can handle 1 week, but did you get Brady squared away up there in New England?
You know, I reached out to his people, but I couldn't get in touch with them. Trying to get Brady and Belichick in a room together, you know what I mean?
Well, but we're going to talk golf today. We got a lot to talk about, right?
Yeah. Speaking of the NFL, you see that they finalized this thing. Aaron Rodgers and the NFL players are going to take on Chris Paul and the NBA players in a golf tournament.
Great. I'm really excited to watch that.
Should be quality golf, right?
Quality.
Maybe Steph Curry will play. Maybe he'll help it out.
I lost a little respect for Seth when he didn't go visit the president.
Yeah.
I mean, the president's the president. You know, I can understand, you know, we all got our issues, but that's all right. But I hope we win tonight.
Yeah, big game for the Rockets. They go now back to California. Unfortunately, Chris Paul not going to play for Houston. So that kind of stinks, and it kind of makes the series less appealing to watch tonight to the consumer.
But that's one thing about sport, especially that type of sport. Injuries happen, and, you know, they're injured. And it's a long season. What these guys go through is incredible. And like you say, the hamstrings and the ankles and all that kind of stuff just amazes me that they can play as much as they do. And watching LeBron last night, you know, it's just an incredible athlete.
Yeah, he really is. He was unbelievable last night. I do think he's a little bit of a drama queen, like with these injuries limping around.
Well,
like,
he's an entertainer.
That's a good point.
You know, it's
like
all
a wrestler, right?
It's all entertainment.
Yeah, it's like Hulk Hogan or something. It does get annoying at times, though. All right, a lot of golf to get into, though, Charlie. Rory McIlroy is playing incredible right now.
Justin, he's on the other side of the pond.
Yes. Justin Rose is playing well right now.
Now, the question is, why didn't Justin go across to play in one of their big tournaments on the European Tour? Interesting. But, yes, he is leading at the Fort Worth Invitational.
And Bill Harmon will join us right here next on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
Bill who?
Bill Harmon, SB Nation Radio.
Butch's brother.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, and as he does each and every Saturday morning, Bill Harmon, kind enough to give us some time today. Bill, how are you?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
You know, not as good as you. Out there in the
probably true
beautiful Palm Springs, the beautiful wife.
And we actually got the heat hasn't hit us yet, so we have had a wonderful spring.
The heat hasn't hit us, but the humidity has.
Yes, I bet. I know I was there last weekend, and it was a little bit on the humid side.
Yeah, we enjoyed seeing you, Bill.
Well, you know, Charlie, if you'd have been at MD Anderson for 12 hours on Monday, you'd have seen me.
Just kidding.
Yeah, I know.
Everything turned out to your liking?
Everything was great. Got very fortunate.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Miracle of science and internal fortitude. We're going to talk about experience later in the show. How valuable is experience in what we do? I mean, the experience that you had at MD Anderson, the experience, what is experience? Is it good? Is it bad? We'll just talk a little about that in sports.
Yeah. Some news items coming this week, Charlie. And we'll start with this one. The European team has announced its vice captains for the Ryder Cup.
So what?
So you just think Americans are winning this no matter what?
I mean, pretty soon we're going to have more captains and assistant captains and players, right, Bill?
So what's their role, Bill? What exactly do the vice captains do? You got Luke Donald, Padraig Harrington, Graham McDowell, Lee Westwood, Robert Carlson. So what exactly is the role of the vice captains in this, Bill?
Well, I can only tell you from my experience in the 2015 President's Cup, where I was kind of on Jay Haas's support staff, I guess you'd say. And my feeling was, and he had, you know, kind of the same lineup that Europeans had. He had Steve Stricker, he had Davis Love, Jim Furyk, and Freddie Couples. And one of the things that they did right away is he would assign one of the vice captains to a certain group in the three practice rounds. So they were constantly kind of monitoring the players, who was playing good, who wasn't playing so good, et cetera, et cetera. I think that gave them a lot of feedback. Then, other than that, they helped with the pairings. I do think that the players probably, for the most part, looked up to those guys, especially the younger players, so perhaps they'd have been more apt to listen to them. But I never really saw the vice captains given a whole lot of advice. I'd say they were very supportive. So I think in some respects, Charlie's probably correct. I pretty much feel it all boils down to whichever team putts the best is going to have the best assistant captains. And if they don't putt good, the assistant captains aren't going to look good. So I think at the end of the day, you know, in all of these team events, the team that putts the best or makes the putts at the right time ends up winning, and the captain really can't do that for them. So,
you know,
I think there's a modicum of truth to what Charlie said.
Yeah, you know, it's morphed into a, you know, a bigger show now that the players are more in charge. The PGAs have acquiesced, and the players get to create the environment, and it keeps the older guys involved. I mean, I think it's been great for Tiger over the last few years to be involved with the President's Cup as a assistant captain, and also the Ryder Cup. They're preparing him for his chance at being a captain. So I make fun of it, but it creates a great environment.
Well, and I don't think the PGA, to be honest with you, Charlie, has a clue how to treat the players. I really don't.
Well, that's not their business.
I don't think they have a clue whatsoever. From the ones that I've been involved in, compared to the President's Cup that's run by the Tour, it's night and day. And basically that's what the task force was, to create an atmosphere more like the President's Cup, because the PGA, as you know, has nothing to do with the Tour player other than one week a year.
Yeah, they own the tournament.
And so some of the stories of what the PGA has done to certain players is an absolute joke.
But, you know, yes. But I can remember my favorite story about the Ryder Cup is Arnold Palmer went up to Ben Hogan and said, "Now, tomorrow, don't pair me with this guy. I don't really like him." And Ben looked at Arnold and says, "Who says you're playing tomorrow?"
Yeah, well, they didn't like each other, so
you know. So they
seem to have a real conflict, Arnold and Ben. Arnold never really said anything. He actually came out later in life and said, "I didn't really like the guy."
It makes for good conversation.
So, Charlie, that,
yes,
Ryder Cup,
yes.
That Ryder Cup you're referring to, did the U.S. win?
Yes, it was here in Houston, 1967.
At the Champions, wasn't it?
At Champions, yes, sir.
What about the actual captain, like Jim Furyk? How important is it for him with the pairings and all that?
Well, he sets the tone, and he has to pick out the uniforms. He's got to organize the social activities. One thing that's happened over the last few years is the players tend less social activities, and they're more into what they're doing. One year when they had the tournament, the Ryder Cup at the war on the shore, remember that? Steve Pate, they're going to a dinner, and he was in a limousine, and they had a wreck, and he got hurt, and he couldn't play. So going to dinner can be very...
They're going to be safe there, but it's like Dustin Johnson at the Masters a couple years ago.
And in today's society and all that with the rooms, and they all have a function, but it's also a big party, a reward for great play.
Yeah, fair enough. Moving on to somebody that will be playing in the Ryder Cup is Rory McIlroy over at the BMW PGA Championship across the pond, Charlie, as you put it earlier. Rory McIlroy yesterday put up a 65. He has the lead. He's 11 under par. One-stroke lead today. Through four holes, he's one over par. What have you made of Rory so far this week? It seems like he's caught in fire real quick.
Well, he's got, you know, it's kind of like when you get up in the morning and you're getting ready to wash your face, you want cold water, hot water. He's either cold or he's hot. He's cold or he's hot, you know, and he wants to get back into number one, so it's a good indicator. But like you say, today he starts out flat. He's one over after a great round of golf. So it would be good for world golf and good for Rory if he won this weekend, Bill, don't you think?
Yeah, I think Rory's very easy to pull for. You know, Alex Noren said he played the best round of golf he'd ever seen yesterday.
Yeah.
That's coming from a pretty darn good player. But I think you're right about Rory. He is hot and cold. When he's hot, he's as good as I would put maybe his best and Dustin Johnson's best are probably a little bit better than anybody else's best in golf today. So I'd put those two kind of in the same category for just, you know, incredible physical skills. But Rory is so talented. And I think this will be an interesting weekend for him because, you know, he's really been hot and cold with the putter and mostly cold. But he got hot that last round at Orlando when he won. So I think it'll be an interesting weekend for him, although the leaderboard is not exactly sprinkled with a lot of great players chasing him. There's some very good players. But interesting weekend for him. I think it's a tournament that we probably think he needs to win if he's got, what, do you have a three-shot lead after two rounds. So he's kind of an enigma. Did that great week at Bay Hill, but he hasn't really done as much since. So he's a tough one to get a handle on. I like your analogy of the hot and cold water, Charlie.
Think about these guys. What do they all have in common? Martin Keimer, Danny Willett, Ernie Els, Thomas Peters, Padraig Harrington.
All major winners?
All missed the cut.
Oh.
Yeah, they did all miss the cut.
And
yeah.
All with great experience. Now, if you got all this great experience and you're, you know, major winners and all that, why do you miss the cut? That's another question for Billy to explain to us in the third segment, talking about experience. But, you know, is bad experience worse than good experience?
Yeah. I guess it depends on the player. Real quickly on Rory before we move on, Charlie, and we'll get to the experience in a second here. You mentioned it, Bill. Alex Noren said this is the best round he ever seen, and he shot a 68 yesterday when Rory's shooting his 65, which is pretty funny. But, Charlie, you mentioned the hot and cold thing with Rory. Is he too emotional? Is that what it is? Is that why he gets so hot and he gets so cold? Like, why does this happen to such a great player?
Well,
is it the putting?
I go back to what Nicklaus says about the game. He says, don't make it more important than it really is. Okay? No, don't get too high, don't get too low. Don't get too high when you're number one in the world. Stay humble. Don't get too low when it starts going backwards because then you dig yourself really into a deep hole of depression. I mean, these guys get in the limelight and all of a sudden it's not there. So try to stay more of an even keel. You know, Bill, it reminds me of Jay Haas. His career so long. But he's been the same since day one.
Yeah, he's always been, he's always kind of knew what he wanted to do and he knew how to do it. I think in Rory's case, though, Brian, it's hard to be the number one player in the world and be such an inconsistent putter. You know, we've talked about his putting ad nauseum on this show, but putting is how you get momentum and keep momentum. You just cannot win tournaments and not putt well. And, you know, and I've said it 100 times, I've never seen a guy of his caliber of player that at such a young age has had so many different putting coaches and putting styles. And I'm not disagreeing with what he's been taught. I just think that perhaps the genius has been taught out of him. it's not always easy to go from an artist to a mechanic and then back to being an artist. And some people never, ever get it back. And he certainly has not consistently been a good putter in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's a real interesting point, Bill. And maybe it's what you point out. Maybe he's thinking about it too much instead of just going out there and putting. I remember you mentioned a couple of weeks ago where he was talking to, who was it, Bill, that you mentioned, told him that when he's, what do you think about when you're driving the ball? And he said, nothing.
Brad Faxon.
Yeah, so that's what he gave him the advice, do the same thing when you're putting, right?
Well, you would think, but once again, once you get to where you become a mechanic, it's just not that easy to erase all those tapes. It sounds easy for us to say, hey, don't think about anything, just put it on the right edge and hit the right speed. Well, if it was that easy, I guess we'd all be doing it. So that's why I'm always a little bit leery of people that get overtaught and over-instructed, especially if they're very gifted. And, you know, in my opinion, he and Dustin Johnson are the two most physically gifted players on the planet right now.
All right. What were you going to say, Charlie?
Well, sure. It just brings up my question about Jordan Spieth, and we can talk about that a little later in the program. How many times are you going to three-putt from 9 feet?
Yeah. That's been odd to watch, too.
Holy cow.
Yeah, that has been weird to watch with Jordan Spieth. All right, a lot more to get into. The tip of the week, as always. Coming up next, though, when is experience a good thing and when is experience a bad thing? We'll tackle that next on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston on SportsMap 94.1.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. With Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, and thanks to Insperity for making this program possible each and every week. Charlie, we're talking about experience, and you mentioned some of the guys that missed the cut this week.
Yes, and you know, we look at golf, and that's all you can, you know, that's what we're talking about. And my deal, and oh, experience is real hell. He's going to win because of experience. But then you keep seeing this week over the BMW, guys with experience, guys that have won major championships, can't make a cut. I mean, Ernie Els, the best swing in town, can't make a cut. Now, I think he's more of a victim of bad experiences, whether it be the 7-putt he had at Augusta, to get that mind going the wrong way. I mean, look at over here up at Fort Worth, the Colonial, Justin Rose is leading, but Webb Simpson won a tournament 2 weeks ago. I mean, he was incredibly good. Can't make a cut this weekend. What happens? Jason Duffner also. Zach Johnson. Zach Johnson is a great player for so many years. His window is getting smaller and smaller. So, Bill, we can have all this experience and all this knowledge, but the bottom line to play golf is takes what? What's happening? How do you interpret this? Experience versus, you know, youth. You know, we had a rookie winning his first 23rd tournament, you know. Wise up in
Aaron Wise.
Aaron Wise.
The Byron Nelson last week.
Yeah, the Byron Nelson. So what do you see of what's going on or what happens?
Well, you think Aaron Wise, when it's all said and done, would like to have Ernie Els' record of over 80 worldwide wins and 3 or 4 majors? Think he'd like to have those experiences? You know, just because the guy's later on in his career and he's missed a couple cuts doesn't mean that experience is bad. You still have to perform every week. Duffner's been playing good all year, so he had a bad week. No big deal. I think that if you ask Webb Simpson if you could take a missed cut and win in the Players as opposed to 2 top 10s, what would you take? I think I know the answer to that. So I'm not too sure it's got anything to do with experience. I think experience can be very helpful, but you still have to perform today. And in this world, Charlie, as you know, last week Bill Haas shot 3 under and missed the cut, you know. And so the scores are going lower and lower and lower. And a lot of the guys that you just mentioned by nature are not good putters. And it goes back to putting. And Ernie really has not putted well the last 4 or 5 years, it looks like to me. And so So I don't know. I wouldn't chalk somebody missing a cutoff to experience.
No, but it just shows you how elusive the game is. I mean, you can have
That's what I think it is. I think it's more that it's a really, really difficult game, and we tend to forget that when we see some of these great players on a hot streak, we think that the game is easy. You know, I've said this, and I mean it sincerely, that I've never, ever thought that Jordan Spieth will ever have a season of major championships like he had 2 or 3 years ago, because it was probably the top five in the history of the game. And you can't make all those putts for four different tournaments at those four different times. And I bet somebody that even never have a year where he finished in the top 10 in all four majors.
So when you get in a cold like this, you don't change. You just keep trying to tweak it a little. But you just sometimes these guys, you know, like you said, they get taught a new system and all that, and you go from bad to worse.
Well, I think everybody is trying to perfect a game that can't be perfected, and I think sometimes the pursuit of perfection you'll meet disaster instead. And I think it's just best to stay your course, learn about yourself, your self-knowledge, things like that. Let that be your mentor. It isn't always the swing. I think we're in a day and age now of all this information. Everybody thinks it's the swing. It isn't. It's what you shoot. That's all that counts. That's the only number that counts is what you shoot. And you can have, Charlie, we see it all the time. You and I see young players all the time that look like they've got the best swing that you've ever seen. But the only thing they got in common with a lot of players is they got no place to play because they don't score low enough. So I think everyone thinks that the secret is always in the golf swing. The secret to me, to be honest with you, is once you get talented like that, is can you learn to hit good shots when you're nervous and scared? And if you can't do that, you're not going to make it in professional golf, in my opinion.
And, Bill, that's why I brought up earlier this year, you talk about how hard the game is, and you mentioned Jordan Spieth. Remember in March, Jordan Spieth passed Tiger Woods with 19 missed cuts. He's 24. Tiger in his entire career, this is what makes him so amazing, missed 18 cuts, 17 on the PGA Tour. So he's 42. He's missed less cuts than Jordan Spieth, who's one of the best players in the world. And most of the cuts that Tiger's missed have been when he's been trying to make comebacks, Charlie.
Oh, sure. I mean, Tiger is just an exceptional athlete, and he had a run of 10 years where Jordan had 2 good years. So, I mean, it's just an interesting dynamic of what experience does and how you use it and how you approach the game. And I see, to me, Bill, is a lot of players make this game more important than it really is. You got to know when to go fishing, relax, take time off. And I think Jack Nicklaus was the epitome of that type of golfer, where he was able to control his emotions. So,
he had that. And plus, he was better than everybody.
That's what made him.
That helps too, you know.
That's what made him good. Is he was able to, you know, not get real high, not get real low. I mean, you know, when he suffered that loss to Tom Watson at the British Open in 1977, he lost a 3-shot lead with 5 holes to go. And after it was all said and done, that evening Jack travels, you know, at the British Open with 25, 30 friends. And that night they had dinner, and Jack walked into the room. Everybody else was doom and gloom, and Jack says, what do you guys got? Why are you so down? I did all I can do. I lost, and I'm going to live for another day. Now let's have fun. And the next year, he came back and won the British Open.
Yeah, not bad. He puts it into perspective for everybody else in the
room. That's it.
All right, a lot more to get into, including the tip of the week. Plus, Justin Rose is playing really well this week. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston on SportsMap 94.1.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Brian Barrett.
Okay. All right. We were talking about Rory playing well across the pond a little bit earlier. And how about Justin Rose at the Fort Worth Invitational? He has the lead. A 66 followed by a 64. What is it, Charlie, that makes Justin Rose so consistent?
Well, he's, you know, he hasn't really been that consistent. I mean, here's another guy that won the U.S. Open at Marion 2010. He won the Olympic gold medal. But, you know, he comes and goes. He's won a couple more tournaments, but that's just golf, you know, you might say. But now here's Justin, who's a bomber, and he's on one of the great golf courses on the PGA Tour, Colonial Bill, with Harbortown. You know, the architects said, man, the ball's going too far. We got to, you know, make the ball go less. Why don't they build golf courses today like Colonial and Harbortown, you know, where you have to keep the ball in the fairway and you got small greens?
Well, anytime you have a tight course, it will play much longer because guys won't get up and just air it out and swing as hard as they can. So the very nature of a tight course tends to even if they let you hit driver, by nature, you're not going to try to hit the longest drive you've ever hit. But Justin Rose, to me, is just a marvelous iron player. And I love his golf swing. I think he's got a terrific golf swing. And as you know, Charlie, if you can drive it relatively straight at Colonial, then it becomes who's the best iron player, really, because they have relatively small greens. They can create good pin placements, and the wind tends to swirl. So I think I'd call it a ball striker's course, and I think Justin Rose is a marvelous ball striker.
Yeah, it makes sense. So what you're saying, essentially, Bill, is that this is a perfect course for Justin Rose's games and his strengths.
Well, I think so. You know, and look at what he did at Marion when he won. You know, that wasn't the longest open course in the world. But he tends to be there in most of the big tournaments because I think day in and day out, when you watch him, Charlie, don't you think he has a very, very efficient golf swing?
I love watching his swing. I mean, I can't believe, you know, that he doesn't win more. I mean, but his swing and his physical, you know, shape, and he's a tall person that but is under control. And, yeah, he is. It's interesting, though, why he is not over at the BMW Championship with all the Euros. And he chose to play here, but that's a story for another day. But the guy in second place, Emiliano Grillo, and I like saying that because I can pronounce those L's correctly.
Yes, you can.
He is an Argentine, and he can drive the ball straighter than you can point. So he's got himself in good position, but
he's pretty inconsistent, too, though, wouldn't you say, Charlie?
Yeah, he's got a different way about himself, and he is not, I would say, one of the hard workers on the PGA Tour. He likes to sleep a lot. But Bruce Koepka, minus seven.
Yeah, and he shot a 63 yesterday. Yeah,
he's good, boy. And I'll tell you one thing about him. He's not afraid to air it out either when you talk about a guy who likes to drive it. Brooks Koepka, of the younger players, you know, he's coming off an injury. But he's one of those guys, Charlie, that doesn't appear to play with a whole lot of fear.
Yeah, and look,
so I would say that Brooks Koepka would be the guy to watch out for this week, especially since he's been off for a few months and he's probably a little bit hungry and chomping at the bit. So I look for him to be there at the end of this tournament.
Well rested and defending U.S. Open champion. And then our talking points, Brian said, is he one of the top five players in the world?
Well, I said, could he get there? Is his ceiling that, Bill, is he talented enough to be one of the guys that we consider at some point one of the top five players in the world? Now, he's a
no question in my mind that he has those abilities. He's really, really long. And once again, he doesn't play with a lot of fear. And that's something we don't talk about very much. He's kind of a free swinger and a free spirit, and he plays golf that way, and he's carries himself with quite a bit of confidence. He's got kind of a swagger. Yeah, I think he easily has top five in the world potential, and maybe even the potential to be a number one player in the world at some point in his career.
Is he similar to Dustin Johnson?
Talent-wise, probably close. I would say he's pretty close. I think Dustin just has such an unusual body. You know, the length of his arms. So he's the opposite of you, Charlie. He's got a long neck, and you have no neck. And I think those guys that have long necks like Duvall and him, you know, they could take huge turns because their chin was never in the way. And so I think that Koepka has enormous physical skills, but maybe the thing that he has going for him more than anything is he's not afraid. You know, and he showed that at the Open at Erin Hills. He was hitting drivers as hard as he could almost every hole. And even on the last hole, I believe he hit the longest drive of anybody in the event that day with a one- or two-shot lead. So that showed you that he's pretty fearless on the golf course. So I give him easily a chance to be the number one player in the world at some point in his career.
Yeah, it is interesting to watch some of these bigger athletes. Obviously, Dustin Johnson sticks out, but Jon Rahm, and now a guy like Brooks Koepka. So it'll be nice to see how he finishes out this week, and I think it makes it entertaining with Justin Rose at the top and Brooks Koepka trying to chase him down. Charlie, how about this? Which player to you has improved the most from last year to this year, so far this year? I mean, we're early in the season, but is there one player that sticks out? Is there a couple?
You know,
I guess Tiger has a lot, right? I mean, coming back, that's injuries.
For a comeback, yes, yeah. But for somebody who's in the top 10, I read your question, and I should have looked at the top FedEx players, Bill.
That's a tough one to answer, I agree.
Yeah, I couldn't come up with one right now.
I think up until recently, maybe up until the Masters, I would have said Pat Perez. But he's kind of calmed down a little bit since then. But he'd been really playing good for quite a while.
Yeah, it seems like somebody that's gone to the
Cabrera Bello is a very good player, too, the Spanish player, too, isn't he, Charlie?
You know, he's been a great player ever since junior golf. But Angel has always said that he just doesn't quite have the chutzpah, if you will, to win. He's been there, but he hasn't won anything, and he kind of backs up on Saturdays or a Sunday. But he definitely has the a golf swing that really produces a lot of great shots. But coming down the line, like you said, can you keep that swing going when you're a little afraid and nervous? So if he
that's kind of what it all boils down to at that point in time.
So that's just going to take having success at the right time to give him the confidence where he can, you know, believe in himself more.
Yeah, and you know somebody that's gone in the other direction is Hideki Matsuyama, because coming into the year, everybody expected him to be one of the guys that was a top five player consistently competing, and he has not been the same player that he was last year.
Well, he had that horrible injury for a golfer, his wrist.
Yeah.
And that just
And that's what Koepka had, too, and he overcame it.
If he can't come back too soon, so he's got to play himself back into shape. Plus, he got married, you know. Those activities tend to distract players, you know. But I think his injury has kept him back, because I had picked him to win a major this year.
Yeah.
I mean, we still
got... Yeah, you were very, very high on him going into this year, and you've been very quiet about that too, by the way, Charlie. I'm glad you brought it up, Ryan, because he certainly wasn't going to bring it up.
Yeah. I've said it...
You know, the guy who I think has really struggled, and it pains me to say this, but... I would say since he finished fifth last year in the U.S. Open at Erin Hills, my guy Bill Haas really has had a very indifferent last 12 months. I know that he has a little bit of an excuse this year, a big excuse for the accident that he was in and the tragic loss of a great friend of mine. But I would say, by his standards, he has just not played in the last 12 months even close. But as Charlie said, Bill now has three kids under the age of four. And, boy, that's that's a lot of responsibility, and you just never know how that changes people. And all of a sudden, your golf game isn't the most important thing. You've got to figure out a way to take care of these kids and things like that. So I would say that if you ask Bill Haas, who was the most disappointing player in the last year, he might even point to himself because he's very honest about that. So, but then again, when you have a lot of talent, you never know when you're going to break out, and usually it's one swing, you're one swing thought away. Wouldn't you say, Charlie, when you're gifted?
That's right, the right shot at the right time, and it works. I can live with that. You know, that's what a player says, and they'll go out because, you know, golf is something that has to, you have to have conscious thoughts to be successful. And, you know, you want to get them in your subconscious, but, yes, the right thought at the right time can produce a lot of momentum.
Well, yeah, and how many times have we watched Phil Mickelson where he's been playing poorly for a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden, like we saw in Mexico, he wins a tournament. He hasn't played well since then, and Bill mentioned the fact that he's got the long-sleeve shirts. Maybe that's part of it, but Phil, all the time, he'll be struggling, then all of a sudden he gets to a big tournament, and he comes across the winner.
Well, he played 6 out of 8 weeks in a row at the age of 45, 46. He probably played himself into a little slump. I think he's going to be back. I can't wait to watch the U.S. Open and see what transpires there. So, and I think Phil could be right in the mix. Bill, do you think he's got a chance?
Well, he actually had that tournament at one point, one of the Opens there, and he double bogeyed number 17 and three putted from about 6 feet. I think that was the Open maybe that Corey won. You know, you wouldn't really think that Phil would be a great U.S. Open player, but he has been with 6 second places. He should have won at Wingfoot. He handed that away. He gave away the one at Shinnecock, really making double bogey on 17. So I think it all depends on how he drives the ball. If he can keep it in play, Shinnecock is not an easy course to be playing from the rough. So I'm very interested to see how Shinnecock plays. It's a classic, classic golf course. I think a tremendous U.S. Open venue. And I'm really interested to see how the weather affects it and what the course is looking like. I understand they've chopped down a lot of trees, and it should be just a great national championship.
And the rough should be really challenging because they've had a lot of moisture in the east this
That's
year.
That's correct.
And when you get that in combination with then a hot summer, I mean, it's going to be fun. I agree with you. I can't wait for the Open at Shinnecock.
Yeah, and it would be cool if we had Phil Mickelson in the hunt because, of course, he's still looking for the career Grand Slam. Rory at the Masters had a chance. That made it a little bit more interesting. Not that the Masters need any more intrigue, but it would be cool to see if Phil Mickelson is in the hunt at the U.S. Open. All right, coming up next, it's the tip of the week right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio and SportsMap 94.1.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett. It's time for the tip of the week on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
All right, Charlie. Well, the floor is yours, my friend. Your tip of the week.
Tip of the week. Tip of the week. Going into the summer months in Texas, and I'm sure across the country, and we are in 120 stations across the country, let's make sure you take care of yourself. Get a lot of sunscreen. But more importantly, for the juniors, make sure they drink a lot of water during the week. It's just not a matter of drinking it on Sunday or on Saturday when it's 100 degrees. You know, get in the habit of 2 or 3 bottles a week every day, you know, and you'll stay hydrated because we don't want any sunstrokes. We don't want the kids getting lightheaded, and for the adults the same thing. But there's and I did this the other day, and I went out and forgot my sunscreen to put it on, and I feel it still today. So get a lot of sunscreen, a lot of water during the week, and you're going to have a great summer playing golf.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I'm very pale, so I got to make sure I wear my sunscreen when I'm out there, Charlie. You know what I'm saying?
You even wear long sleeves indoors.
Yeah, I got to protect myself from the sun.
Yeah.
It's the cross I bear. All right, Bill, what do you have this week?
You know, I give a lot of playing lessons, Brian and Charlie, and I'm always amazed at how poorly the amateur strikes the ball from 100 yards in. Forget getting it close to the pin. Their contact is so inconsistent. So I would like to see our listeners out there learn to hit wedges three quarters and learn to try to hit the ball solid. Put the ball back in your stance a little bit. Take more of a three-quarter backswing, three-quarter follow-through. And if you normally hit your pitch and wedge 100 yards, practice hitting it 85 to 90 yards. And make sure that you can put the club on the ball. If you can't put the club on the ball, you can't control distance. So technique comes before distance control with 99% of the golfers. So you've got to have a system in which you can hit the ball pretty solid. So I'd say work on three-quarter shots with your short irons. Just get them on the green. Forget about getting them close. Just get them on the green consistently, and your scores will go down.
One thing that's helped me in that vein, Bill, and I take a page out of Mr. Hogan's book, is remember he had practiced a lot with that hanky underneath his right arm. And to hinge the elbow more going back, but then unhinge the elbow going through the ball helps me not hit behind the ball. So the training of the right arm as you have your elbow into your
I think
body.
The show's over, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
Thanks for joining us, Bill.
Hey, Bill, it's good to see you. But remember,
good to see you. You had a chance to give your tip. Don't be giving my tip.
Extend that right elbow.